This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provides signature support for our program. Your number is 877-217-5757. You can send emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. We were slated to start our show today with Ali Alexander, the former Louisiana political consultant who was known as Ali Akbar back in the day in our state. He is orchestrating the Stop the Steal movement, challenging the vote that shows President-elect Biden will take the oath of office on January 20th. But President Trump has not conceded. There are 16 different court challenges. And subbing for Ali Alexander on late notice is Nathan Martin. He's in Ohio and is national coordinator of Stop the Steal. And there were many rallies across the country over the weekend expressing support for the president's claim that massive voter fraud caused him to lose the election. And good morning to you, Nathan.
Good morning.
What are your thoughts about where we are almost 9 weeks before the next inauguration?
Well, obviously the big date is December 14th when the Electoral College meets. And so between now and then, we're trying to basically get people in the street, get a movement of rallies to call their state legislators to try to enact change for election integrity and make sure that every legal vote is counted and every illegal vote is not counted. And our goal is to kind of stop and slow down the process so that these court challenges can take place and that the campaign can catch up.
Do you really think you have a realistic chance of reversing what appears to be a solid win for Joseph Biden?
I don't know about – I'm not going to assign chances to it. I think that we have, from everything I understand, I think there are legitimate court challenges that illegal votes were counted and that legal votes were not counted. And our job and our goal is to make sure that that travesty and that injustice is solved.
Nathan Martin is with us. He's involved with Stop the Steal. And you can give us a call at 877-217-5757 to either praise or challenge Mr. Martin. He knows the lay of the land. And in this case, there are 16 different lawsuits contesting the election. The New York Times details every one of them today. And at this point, many media outlets have called the entire country, and it would give, if things stayed the same, Joe Biden 306 electoral votes, the same number that President Trump received 4 years ago when our president said it was a landslide. Now, this is a case, Nathan, where several states would have to flip, and we're not talking about any state that is within 10,000 votes or fewer, so it would seem to be the longest of long shots, and there are those, as you know, who say it's time to give up the ghost. Why do you and thousands of others, if not millions of other Trump supporters, continue the fight?
Well, I think it's as simple as the bedrock, the foundation, the very foundation of our republic as a constitutional republic is that people have a voice, and they're the ones that in these states have been chosen by the state legislatures to choose the electors that are sent to the Electoral College. Now, you know, as well as I do, the Constitution gives great latitude to the state legislators and how to choose their electors. And this is the process that's been set up. And so these state legislators have empowered the people in their states to be able to make that choice. And we just want to make sure that every legal vote is counted and every legal vote is not counted. I don't think this is a radical thing. We're trying to shine a light on fraud and abuses. Now, at the end of the day, is it possible that we're able to shine a light on these fraud and abuses, get ballots thrown out, and it doesn't make a difference in the grand scheme of things? I mean, that's always possible. But at least we'll have comfort in knowing that the election was a fair outcome. And that sense of fairness is what has driven a peaceful transition and leadership changes in our country for hundreds of years. And we can't afford to have that basic fabric of our republic denigrate.
877-217-5757 is your number. And, of course, the beat goes on. We are 13 days removed from the presidential election. And the president's first tweet on Sunday at 7:47 said, referring to Mr. Biden, he won, and that was one of the statements. And then there were responses to that. But then at 9:16, he insisted, rigged election, we will win. So the president has far from conceded this election. Photo of him waving to supporters near the White House in the New York Times on Saturday, and then clashes broke out with anti-Trump protesters. So tensions are high, and we're going to take a few calls for Nathan Martin, and we ask that you be kind and not attack our guests, because obviously he is putting his chin on the line, and it certainly looks like a 99% chance or more that Joe Biden will be taking the oath of office on January 20th. But Nathan Martin, as I said, speaks for about several million Trumpsters who have not accepted the results of the election. Let's go to Miriam. Miriam, will you be our first caller for Nathan on Government Street? Miriam, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Miriam.
Good morning. I just want to make a tiny correction and then a comment. We are a representative monarchy, not a constitutional monarchy. That's a big difference of words. And two, the Electoral College would be a lot more fair if we did like Nebraska and Maine and have split votes.
On congressional districts, well, some would say that that would work better, but the congressional districts, of course, have been gerrymandered too, so that would be an imperfect system, and there really is no perfect system. But Nathan, many believe this electoral college system is outdated, including yours truly. If we were doing this just on the overall vote, would the president have conceded by now?
I can't speak to that hypothetical. We have a system that we have, and we have it for a very specific reason. Anybody who claims that a national popular vote would work in any kind of practice is, I think, fooling themselves for several different reasons. One, we don't have any national elections. Everything is based off a state-by-state basis. States have a wide latitude to run their
Okay. We do have, of course, 50 states that conduct elections, and it would not be difficult to combine them as we do for a, quote, national election. It's obvious, though, that many people like the Electoral College the way it is, and right now the overall vote has Joe Biden ahead by almost 6 million votes. Charles on I-10. Charles, good morning. You're on with Nathan Martin of Stop the Steal. Hi, Charles. Good morning to you.
Okay, short and sweet. I voted for Biden. Okay, I'm not a Trump fan on any level. However, I want to exhaust every single opportunity to prove that the election is fair. If it means a recount or whatever it means, I want to know that the elections are fair.
All right, fair enough. Well, there is a recount in Georgia where Biden is ahead by about 14,000 votes. Do you have hopes that the Georgia results will be changed and that President Trump will prevail in Georgia, Nathan Martin?
Well, I think it's more than just a recount, right? We need a recount and an audit. And when we audit, we need to make sure the signatures match on any kind of mail-in ballots. And this is an important distinction, because if we're just doing a recount, you're saying basically that people made a mistake in counting the votes. And that very well could happen in some cases, but probably not to that extreme. What we're looking at is an audit to make sure that the votes that were initially counted in the first place were properly placed. And that requires signature matching. That requires ensuring that the data is audited correctly. I think that if there is a full audit done, again, I think that the results would be different in Georgia and in other states. But again, going back to the initial point, the point of all this is that we all understand that it was fairly done, fairly counted. And at the end of the day, if it is audited and it's shown by whatever margin that we have President Biden, then that is the result. But we have to ensure that every legal vote's counted. Every illegal vote is not counted. And without an audit in some of these places where there's been some shady practices, ballot harvesting, et cetera, I don't know that state legislatures should feel comfortable applying their electors.
All right. Well, we've got several questions about your remarks about the actual electors. Now, if you can get them to change their minds, and by the way, in the 2016 election, two of Trump's votes didn't go for him, and five of Hillary Clinton's votes didn't go for her. What are your hopes of actually getting the electors to do differently than their states have indicated they want? Do you have hope that they'll go the other way?
What you're talking about is stateless electors, and in a lot of states, they have laws against stateful electors. It's basically a contract with the state legislatures, and the Supreme Court's ruled that they've upheld those laws. So in some states, that's not even an option.
We're going to spend a few more minutes with Nathan Martin when we return in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. In just a bit, we'll hear from Lamar White, the publisher of the Bayou Brief, but we continue for a few moments with Nathan Martin of Stop the Steal. He is subbing for Ali Alexander, who could not be with us. He is on a plane, but Nathan is in high ranks in Ohio in this Stop the Steal movement. He's involved nationally as well. And he believes, as do, I say, millions of others who really marched to the beat of President Trump. And the president has said that he was robbed of the election, even though the vote count shows him down by almost 6 million votes, with more votes to be counted. About 97-98% of the national voting is in now. And down in the Electoral College, if the states go according to form, 306 to 232, and 4 years ago, that was the exact same margin he beat Hillary Clinton, 306 to 232, and the president referred to that as a landslide. 877-217-5757, and let's go to Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. Jim, I'm calling as a huge fan of Talk Louisiana and of you and your election analysis that you do every election. And I'd just like to say as a fan that when you bring people on like this that have a 55-gallon drum of baloney and trying to drop a thimble of truth in it, man, it really turns me off.
Well,
thanks, buddy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your kind words and your corrective criticism, but I do think we have to have all sides up, and I think we just lost Nathan. You're going to have to get him back. We have to get all sides of the political spectrum represented on this show. We're not monolithic in the people we present on our program. And, Mike, obviously there are millions of people who think that this election was rigged. It's something I don't agree with. I don't think it's any more rigged than any other election, and there's always going to be some voter fraud, if you will. But in this case, these states are not even close. It would take just a massive amount of voter fraud. It would be like Hillary Clinton 4 years ago saying she was robbed of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. But she wasn't. She lost. The Electoral College determines the president. She lost last time, but Donald Trump won. And then on this occasion, we know that Joseph Biden, based on all earthly knowledge we have, is the winner of the election unless there can be some fraud proved. And Nathan, to his credit, is not saying that let's just put Donald Trump in office no matter what the vote says. He says, let's see what we have. And there are 16 lawsuits that are out there trying to overturn this. Let's see what happens. And let's take a few more responses for our guest, James in Metairie. James, let's go to line two, Katie Ann. You're on with
Well,
Nathan.
Good morning to you, Jim, and to your guests. Jim, you know, this make-believe fantasy land of the far right and the Trump supporters, there's this attorney who I think is General Flynn's attorney, this Sidney Powell. She's alleging massive, massive election fraud. In other words, the fraud is in the voting system software, that actually millions and millions of votes that were made for Donald Trump were magically switched over to Joe Biden. I mean, it, you know, it's crazy, it's wacko, but she appears on places like Fox News, and now it riles up all these radical Trump supporters, and they start to believe what's not true, Jim.
All right. Well, I don't think Nathan has said that, but if you agree that there might have been some chicanery involving voting machines, now's the time to say it if you really believe that, Nathan. What do you think?
Well, again, we've been clear. We want all legal votes to be counted, illegal votes not to be counted. And, of course, you know, the Trump campaign and Ms. Powell, they'll make their case in court. That will be heard. And, you know, the court will determine the validity of that. I don't have any special x-ray vision into the briefs or things that they have filed. I don't work for the Trump campaign. I'm not involved with that. But I've been very clear that we just need to make sure all legal votes are counted and illegal votes aren't counted. And I would hope that that's the kind of a universal sentiment from all Americans, regardless of who you voted for.
David in Shenandoah. David, you're on with Nathan Martin. Hi, David.
Good morning, Jim. I just want to tell your guests something here. So, you know, common sense don't come easy sometimes. You have to hit the wall before you fall. Otherwise, it's known as what we call a behavioral modification impact realization.
Okay, well, let's go to another caller. Thank you, David in Shenandoah. David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on with Nathan Martin. Oops, there we go. David, oops, no. I think David got disconnected. David, if you call back, we'll get you in. But Nathan Martin, your thoughts about why people are so passionate on both sides on this, I think we know, but you are opening a can of worms that no candidate in the history of our country has. Albert Gore, for example, he lost the 2000 election by essentially one vote. What if he had not bowed out gracefully? What if Richard Nixon had not bowed out gracefully in 1960? What would this country be like if we had candidates in every election running for president who cried voter fraud?
I mean, that's a fair sentiment. I would say that saying Al Gore bowed out gracefully, that's fine, but he did so a couple days before the Electoral College made, right? And so, you know, let's have this conversation if at the time of the Electoral College meeting, President Trump has not, quote-unquote, gracefully bowed out, right?
All right. Evelina on Jefferson. Please be brief. You're on with Nathan Martin of Stop the Steal. Hi, Evelina. Good morning to you.
Hi. I'm not going to comment on the allegations of fraud. What I'd like to emphasize is the failure to allow the transition. And, I mean, they could call it I don't even know who it is. They could call it and let the transition start, you know, so we'll have a smooth transition.
All right. What about, Nathan, what about the fact that Joe Biden's not being provided with national security information? He is basically being shut out. He obviously knows the lay of the land pretty well, but nonetheless, there are contemporary matters that he should be aware of before he takes the oath of office on January 20th. Should that be delayed right now?
I don't see that there's necessarily a big difference in now in, let's say, December 14th or December 15th, being a full 35 days away from actually taking over as power. I don't buy the argument that we are endangering our national security or not by delaying that.
Well, we thank you for joining us today on Late Notice. Nathan Martin of Stop the Steal.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll visit with Ali Alexander sometime soon. But let's go to Lamar White, the publisher of the Bayou Brief, who wrote a very compelling essay about the election, and much of it focused on Ali Alexander. And Lamar White, your thoughts about where we are and the fact that millions of people in our country, like Ali and Nathan, continue to contest what looks to be a totally decided, over-and-done-with election.
Well, I think it's important to note that this is a plan all the way through. I mean, Ali Alexander, your listeners probably remember him as Ali Akbar, as early as September, said that he was planning the infrastructure for a Stop the Steal campaign. And we know that Roger Stone is behind a all of this, too, as well as Steve Bannon. This was always the game plan for Trump. He knew he was going to lose this election. And so, you know, crying voter fraud was the next best thing. I think it's ludicrous, and it's an insult to, you know, just an insult to the entire country.
Does it set a precedent? Obviously, this is not a particularly close election, especially when you look at the overall vote. It's going to be end up being about the same margin as George Bush beat Michael Dukakis. And if Dukakis had gone around saying voter fraud in 1988, people would have thought he had lost his mind.
Well, I think people do think Trump has lost his mind. People close to Trump seem to think he's lost his mind. But, you know, that said, what your previous guest was, what he was recommending that we do is basically disenfranchise millions of Americans. And that's not cool.
All right, 877-217-5757. We thank Nathan Martin of Stop the Steal, and now we've got Lamar White of the Bayou Brief with us for a bit longer, and he'll provide his erudition, and he, of course, is very happy about the results, but unhappy about what's going on in our country as far as contesting a decided election. We'll talk more after the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, and there are those of us who believe that Donald John Trump, the soon-to-be ex-president, as of 9 weeks from Wednesday, he is taking claims of so-called voter fraud to an outrageous level. And one of those who had a better case was Richard Nixon in 1960. And we know that Nixon was a guy who didn't play by the rules in 1972. He was bugging the Democratic Party headquarters, and Watergate ensued, and it cost him an election in the presidency, an election he'd won with 49 states in 1972. But in 1960, when he lost 303 to 219 in the Electoral College, and the overall vote was settled by about 100,000 votes, he says, if I were to demand a recount, and by the way, Nixon could have won the election if he had gotten both Illinois and Texas, but he says, if I were to demand a recount, the organization of the new administration and the orderly transfer of responsibility from the old to the new might be delayed for months. The situation within the entire federal government would be chaotic. Those in the old administration would not know how to act or with what clear powers and responsibilities, and those being appointed by President Kennedy to positions in the new administration would have the same difficulty making any plans. Then, too, the bitterness that would be engendered by such a maneuver on my part would, in my opinion, have done incalculable and lasting damage throughout the country. And finally, I could think of no worse example for nations abroad who for the first time were trying to put free electoral procedures into effect than that of the United States wrangling over the results of our presidential election and even suggesting that the presidency itself could be stolen by thievery at the ballot box. Those words from Richard Milhouse Nixon. With us to talk about where we are in 2020 is Lamar White, the publisher of the Bayou Brief. And Nathan Martin was kind enough to be with us on short notice from Stop the Steal. We could have had Ali Alexander on if things had gone according to plan, but I hope he will be back soon. And the Bayou Brief, there is a interesting profile about Ali Alexander, who was Ali Akbar when he was working for Jay Darden in 2015. And Lamar, I thought one of the things that was in the midst of, there is some humor in the midst of all this, is that Ali goes back a few years with President Trump and then candidate Trump. He wasn't even a candidate. He was just Donald Trump. And,
right.
And the first time he met Ali, he thought he looked like a famous entertainer, didn't he?
Yeah, and he does. He looks like Sammy Davis Jr. And apparently that was the nickname that Donald Trump gave our friend Ali, and it stuck. And I guess the next time they saw one another in person, he mentioned it to him. So
years later. Had a last years impression. Later.
Years said, later, yeah.
Yeah, there's Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah.
Okay, 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Sorry about the mishap a moment ago, but you're on with Lamar White. Hi, David.
Good morning. Mr. White's a great, great person. A lot of respect for you, Mr. White. You know, as an example of how the Republicans can only plant divisiveness and spread hate to divide this country, they have no plan. And in a column in the Washington Post Friday by the I can't think of the guy's the Indian guy. He quoted a Fox News contributor, Newt Gingrich, as saying the election was a grab by the far left, financed by George Soros, and we all know George Soros is Jewish, and this is nothing but another hate method the Republicans use to divide this country.
All right, are there a lot of dog whistles out there, Lamar, when it comes to framing the opponent, as David would say, from the right side of the political spectrum? Your thoughts about remarks of that
kind? Yeah, I would say, and I would say that Ali's been accused of trafficking in some anti-Semitic tropes as well. Let's be honest about it. And there's just a lot of hatred. It's unavoidable. I mean, if you follow these folks on Twitter or on social media at all, you'll encounter it. It's an ugly side to American politics.
Ali was the first to question whether Kamala Harris was an African-American, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. I guess a famous tweet that he sent out in June of 2019, so last year. And the next month he was invited to the White House.
Yeah, there you go. This fellow from Go Auto, Greg Tramontine, he has apologized for his Facebook posting in which he referred to the president-elect and the vice president-elect as Joe and his hoe. That's the quote from Greg Tramontine. He's now on the pages of Newsweek magazine. And you wonder about the apology coming after a remark like this. At least he apologized. When the president's caught in a bind like this, when he clearly says something that is inappropriate, such as saying, "My heroes don't get captured," about John McCain, he just doubles down.
I'm not sure he's ever really apologized for anything. I'm trying to rack my brain here. I can't remember any time.
He's apologized for hiring Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
That's about it.
To himself, though. He's apologized to himself. it's remarkable.
And he picks fights with people who love him. Here's a tweet from the president saying, "Fox News daytime ratings have completely collapsed. Weekend daytime, even worse." Worse, all capitals. "Very sad to watch this happen, but they forget what made them successful, what got them there. They forgot the golden goose. The biggest difference between the 2016 election and 2020 was Fox News." That's from our president.
It's interesting, but the truth is that Fox News was already Fox News, the juggernaut, well before Donald Trump was Donald Trump, the president.
Well, and the Fox News called Arizona early, and that has turned out to be the closest state among all the states. It's about 10,000 votes separating Biden from Trump. Biden winning Arizona, first time a Democrat has won there since 1948. But Fox News was right, and their polling unit is not partisan. It shouldn't be. After all, arithmetic is arithmetic. It has nothing to do with partisan politics. I suspect many of these people are supportive of the president, but if the numbers aren't there, they're not there. And the president, here we are, 16 days removed from Election Day, the numbers are not there for him. It's not even close. And I posed this question to Nathan Martin earlier, Lamar. What if the president were in a situation like Al Gore was in? How would he be reacting to that?
I don't even know how to begin to answer that. It's difficult to conceive. I mean, Florida was a completely different situation. You had butterfly ballots. You had hanging chads. You had a bunch of Jewish grandmothers who somehow voted for Pat Buchanan. And at the end of the day, it was only 537 votes that separated Al Gore from George W. Bush. And it very well could have turned out that Gore won Florida had every single county been recounted. So if it were not, like you said earlier, for that one vote on the Supreme Court, we could have had a very different outcome.
And the Supreme Court at that time had 7 appointees from Republican presidents, 7, not 5, 7. And Gore got 2 of them to cross over and vote for him, and David Souter and John Paul Stevens. And that shows you how the Supreme Court can be a big player in these sorts of things in all facets of American life. And 27 of the last, 19 of the last 27 justices have been nominated and approved by Republican presidents. William Annopoulos. William, you're on Talk Louisiana with Lamar White. William, good morning to you. William?
Yes, Jim?
Yes.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing well. What's your question?
President Trump, has he been preparing his followers for just for months, saying that he was going to be robbed of the election. But what I can't stand is what happened to the Republican leaders, supposed to be leaders who know better. Why don't this?
All right, that's a good question, William. Lamar, what about the Republicans who were strangely silent? I'm going to have to call him back, Katie Ann. Strangely silent about what's going on here. We're talking about the entire Louisiana. Call him back, please. We're talking about the entire Louisiana congressional delegation. Steve Scalise, who is perhaps in line to be Speaker of the House of Representatives. He has all but backed the president in this ludicrous claim that the election was stolen. Garrett Graves here in Baton Rouge, largely quiet about everything. Clay Higgins, another one who's militantly in the corner for the president of the United States. Mike Johnson in Shreveport, same thing. Ralph Abraham walking out of the door, same thing. And then our two U.S. senators, John Neely Kennedy and William Morgan Cassidy. They have not said anything. What about the silence that's going on in the Republican ranks? What do you make of this, Lamar White?
Well, it is interesting that a lot of these folks just stood for re-election and were re-elected, and that, you know, Congress gained, what, 10 Republicans at least in the House, and the Senate looks evenly split. We'll see what happens in Georgia. Yet the only complaint of voter fraud is at the top of the ticket. So it's a little curious, right? One wonders if they really do want a recount of all of these states, because it could end up that it could change down ticket races just like it would change, you know, top of the ticket. Although, to be clear, I don't think anything will be changed.
Thomas in Lafayette. Thomas, you're on Talk Louisiana with Lamar White. Hi, Thomas.
Hey there. I was calling, you know, I got to agree with Mr. White. You know, Trump just, it's not surprising. You know, Trump does what's best for Trump with little regard for anything else, be it the country or, well, anything. I honestly think he's just scared because he won't have the full force of the Department of Justice covering him once he's out.
Well, he could face some legal exposure. There's no doubt about that. And it's in a court that a pardon will not help him if that pardon were to come from either himself or if he would turn the reins over to Mike Pence. It's in New York State, Cyrus Vance, New York City. We'll talk more with Lamar when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Lamar White with us for a few more moments, and then we'll visit with Bill Rao, who's large and in charge at one of the great entities in the French Quarter, Rao Antiques, and some interesting activity going on at this fabled business. 877-217-5757. Sabash at the Country Club of Louisiana. Sabash, you're on Talk Louisiana, Sabash, with Lamar White. Good morning to you. Hi, Sabash.
Hi. Good morning, Ms. Engster. Good morning, your guest. Why are we not actually telling the truth as it is? I have respect for voters who are Republicans based on policies, but you are seeing clearly it is a cult. They are only talking about Trump. They are not talking about Pence. They are not talking about what policies they support and oppose. And you don't see that among the Democrats. We are not for Biden. In fact, a lot of Democrats voted for Biden only because that was just a choice.
All right. I think what our friend Sabash is getting to, Lamar, is that the Republican Party, according to some, has become somewhat of a cult of the president. It is Donald Trump's party until further notice.
I think that's undeniably true, and your caller's absolutely right. It's kind of astonishing that, you know, especially when one considers what the challengers said about Trump in 2016, including our former governor, Bobby Jindal, you know, mm-hmm. did not did not care for the guy one bit.
Well, we as a state voted overwhelmingly for the president, and he got, according to what appears to be a pretty good analysis of the election breakout, about 83% of the white vote. Biden got about 17. Now, I am not including the few votes that were received by third-party candidates. And Biden got about 95% of the African-American vote. So it came down to about 59 to 40 on a percentage basis for the president, right, who got more votes than anybody in the history of the state in any election. And in the Southeastern Conference, Lamar, the vote tally from the Electoral College, 132 to 16 for President Trump, the 16 being in Georgia for Biden, and the rest of the country, 290 to 100 for Biden in the Electoral College. The Southeastern Conference, 11 states, have become the bellwether for those who are supportive of President Donald John Trump.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But, you know, I do see some hope where Georgia was able to, you know, register maybe a million or so African-American voters who had not voted in previous elections. We have the opportunity to do the same or something similar in Louisiana, as does Mississippi, for sure. So we'll see what happens in the next 4 to 8 years. I mean, we could trend more blue, or at least more purple.
Well, and a listener notes that the best way to change the electorate as far as how it votes is to have people move into the state. And Louisiana, unfortunately, has not had the movement right into its state that Georgia has or California. You see states, California, by the way, voted for Republicans for president in 1976, 72, 1980, 84, 88, and then it went Democratic, and now it's almost 2-1 in the election between Biden and Trump. But, Lamar, it's always great to talk with you, and
yeah,
I'm glad you're fit as a fiddle, and go to the Bayou
Thanks.
Brief, and you can read more about Ali Alexander and much, much more about American life. We'll talk soon again, I hope, Lamar. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right, take care.
We're joined now by Bill Rao. He is the proprietor of M.S. Rao, the internationally recognized antiques dealer, leader in rare and important antiques, fine art, and jewelry. For those who go down Royal Street, you're going to see Rao galleries. And if you read the New York Times, you're probably going to see an ad there a few times a week. And Bill is the third-generation owner, and he is here to talk about not only the business that was started by his grandfather, Max Rao, who opened the doors there in 1912, but this 40,000-square-foot gallery is also home of an exhibit, Time Across Time. And good morning to you, Bill Rao. It's great to hear your distinctive voice from Royal Street. Doing well. Well, tell us about Time
Hello.
Across Time before we... before
Jim, can
yes,
you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Bill, let me see if our producers can make sure that you can hear me, because I can hear you loudly and clearly. But let's... pull up Bill Rao, Katie Ann. And Bill, can you hear me now?
Much better. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Okay. Well, tell us about Time Across Time.
Well, certainly. We're known for our exhibitions, which obviously in COVID land makes it a whole bunch more difficult. But we want to do an exhibition that could be viewed either visually and virtually online or in person. Because we still are having people in our gallery, although obviously far, far less than we used to. And so we did an exhibition that told the story of time, and it goes back all the way basically to the ancient Egyptians and how they told time, and clocks from the Renaissance, which are quite rare, and into some very rare 20th century timepieces, and other things relating to time, such as memento mori pieces, which are it's things often... We would look at them as very morbid in today's society of, you know, death right around the corner. But in the 18th and 19th century, it was a way of saying let's enjoy life because we don't know how long we're going to be here for. And so it's a exhibition that you can view online. It's our website's www.rauantiques.com. And obviously come in person, which we'd love to show anybody our gallery and the exhibition.
Now, I mentioned you started in 1912 with your grandfather, Max. That's 108 years. How have you been able to stand the test of time?
Well, some luck, some good choices, some hard work. I guess the same with anybody who's been around a long time. My grandfather was an immigrant from Europe, and you know, he came over with a view to make life better for not so much for him, but for his kids and his grandkids, and I'd say he wholeheartedly succeeded, and put a very good work ethic into his kids and his two sons, and that obviously passed on to me and to my daughter, who's the fourth generation in the business.
All right, Tom on Blue Bonnet asks about how the French Quarter has certainly changed. Some people, of course, don't like the change. It's a different kind of place than it was when I was a kid there in the 1960s. How have you adapted to what is a different kind of environment?
Well, I think the French Quarter is a mixture of three different places. There's Bourbon Street, which has its own personality all by itself. There's Royal Street, which is high-end galleries. And then there's sort of everything else, which I call tour shops. I don't think Royal Street's changed that much. I mean, it's obviously changed, and there's galleries that have turned over, and there's places that have come in and places that have left. But the essence of Royal Street hasn't changed. And I think the rest of the French Quarter has become a little bit more touristy, or a good bit more touristy. And Bourbon Street certainly has not lost any of its flavor for drinking and so forth.
Well, you have been able to continue a tradition of fine antiques, iconic paintings, rare jewels. You have a lot of commerce going on there. Another listener asked a good question. How much of that is online now, and how much is walking through the doors of your gallery or your store?
Well, today, with all the challenges we have, our qualified foot traffic's down 90%. But our business for a long time, because we sell around the world, our business for a long time is people reaching out to us and us reaching out to clients that may not live here and sending great photographs and so forth, and sending them the pieces on approval if they need to see them. And so we don't have a fine line between online and walk-in, because online, maybe somebody saw something online, but they call and they speak, and the process mm-hmm. takes some time. So but in a nutshell, our reaching out to people and online now is 96% of, or 97% of our business, whereas pre-COVID it may have been 70%.
Now, Bill is one of the foremost experts on 18th and 19th century European and American antiques and fine art. That's evident by the items in his shop. But you've worked there since you were 14 years old, haven't you? Was there any doubt? Was there ever any doubt you were going to continue the tradition?
I don't think so. I was ordained young.
And in 2011, Bill, you founded the Rao for Art Foundation. How is that going?
That's great. We wanted to give money back to Louisiana, which has been so great to us. And what we do is we support. Let me say the best way to speak. We give money to high school students so they can go take art in college and become art students. And we have contests, and that are all judged by independent judges to see which of these kids have the most talent. And we've sent. There's been quite a few that have gone to LSU. On our nickel, which we're real proud of, that have hopefully turned them into artists for the rest of their life.
Very, very good. And once again, what's your website, Bill Rao?
Sure, it's www.rauantiques.com.
Thank you, my friend. You have a fascinating past and a business that has truly stayed the course. And hopefully we'll talk again soon, Bill. But happy Thanksgiving.